is recording now. Let's hope that that is correct. We did take notes, and I will have those notes put up on the website sometime this week. We just finished being able to hire a replacement for Buzz, Kelly Slayton. So we were able to hire someone, and so they will begin working to help us kind of update our website and make that more usable. So the notes that we took for this call with the questions will be up there from the last meeting on the 6th of February. So with that in mind, I just want to reiterate, we've been having some questions about the KISA application and who should fill those out. If you're having trouble completing that application because you can't get access to it, it could be that you then do not have access and you will need to then go into the authentication app, request access to that application, and then the process is that once you end up getting that request, we from here send an email to your superintendent who is supposed to give permission for you to access that if you are not the superintendent and already have access. I know that there are some districts where you have maybe a district person that is in charge of KISA, and they might not have access to that, and so that is the process to follow. It shouldn't really take very long to give you access. My recommendation is that you let your superintendent know if you're not the superintendent, of course. Let your superintendent know that you are requesting access, and so that they should be, if they would just be aware that they might be getting an email from KSDE requesting permission to for you to access the application. And then once that is done, you can go in and complete the report. Remember that at this point in time, the report that you need to complete is only questions 4 through 15.1. The rest of that report will not be completed until either after the visit or during the visit, the rest of 15, depending on how you want to do it from your district level. That application, the KISA application, that initial application, 1 through 16, is for the system to complete. It has nothing to do with your chair. That is your system report. And at this point in time, the only report that is being requested of systems throughout their four-year process. At the end of your 5 years, we will have a final report that then you will make access, and we're working on that now so that those systems in year 5 going through the accreditation process, they'll be accessing that this year. And we'll probably make refinements as we go based on the experiences of those systems going through the process. We only have 3 systems that are being accredited this year, so that's who we're going to get our feedback from. And then we have about 9 next year who are in year 4. So that's the first thing. Once you have completed that application, I just want to reiterate that what we ask you to do is just print out the report and make sure that you provide a copy of it to your chair and your team members either preferably prior to the visit if you can. Email it to them so that they can see it, if not at least during the visit. That's your responses to what you're doing in the district in terms of your rubrics, in terms of the rubrics, in terms of compliance, in terms of the board goals, in terms of civic engagement, and all of those foundational structures as well. So it's kind of a comprehensive view of what is going on. But the report is fairly easy to complete. So you should have no problems with that, and if you do, don't hesitate to give us a call if there's anything that goes wrong with the application or you have questions about how that should be completed. Any questions about that? I'd like to reiterate one more time that if you have any concerns about what your visiting team is going to work with you during your visit, the OVT workbook that we have online is a good document to take a look at. It is not something that we're asking school districts to complete because that OVT workbook is a workbook for the chairs and the OVT. So that's their document to work with. That's their, where they take notes, where they put information down and things like that. Ultimately, we're going to be asking the chairs to submit that notebook to us with whatever notes they have, mainly because the ARC is requesting it, and it will give us some indication of how we're going to, and what kind of information we're getting from those workbooks. I don't, at this point in time, it's hard to say if that will continue on being a requirement from the ARC. We have a meeting with the ARC, being the Accreditation Review Council, who is the group who's going to be recommending accreditation status for the district. We have a meeting with them on the 21st, and we'll have some further discussion about the workbook and some other pieces on that. But the main thing that the chair will be doing is they're going to be completing a yearly summary of your visit between the chair and the OVT members. That yearly summary, they will then eventually put it into the KESA application. We're going to give access to all of the chairs to that, to a specific section of your KESA application that is for chairs only. They will be able to see eventually the report, and they will be able then to access that yearly summary and put information in there. So I want to just indicate that if you have provided permission to your chairs to access the application, please don't do that. Remember, your passwords are confidential for yourself. That is a confidentiality issue with your application, and chairs will be given their own application. Mostly, as well as that, the permissions that you end up giving, they'll have access to all of the report and probably can edit or whatever, and we just want to make sure that we maintain the integrity of the program and the way it's supposed to be. So, any questions about that?
Jeanette?
Yes. Go ahead, Sue.
This is Sue Jenkins. So the OVT will complete two items for our districts. This is a question. And those two items are the notes in the OVT workbook for the year in which the district applied and the yearly summary. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Yes, and I want to just reiterate that the notes in the OVT workbook is that we're not asking, and I know this is for the system, so if you as a system think that those workbooks might have real detailed information, we're not always really expecting that from the chairs. That workbook is for them to take notes so that when they gather back with the team, they can look at that and have a discussion and go back to their notes in order to be able to write a good report.
Jeanette?
Yes.
Ms. Pigram, Santa Fe Trail. Why
yes.
would the chair be responsible for filling out the workbook for a district?
Why would they or would they not?
Why would they be responsible?
The OVT workbook is for the visiting team and the chair. We have not developed anything really for the system to work with. The system, it's the application, and through the application, they would be able to have information of what kind of will be expected from the visit, because in the application, they're answering about the rubrics, they're answering about their compliance pieces, they're answering about the foundational levels, And that's pretty much what the notebook is all about. So the workbook is really a tool for the chairs, so that the questions that are in there is to help the chair should they kind of get stuck with maybe what they should be asking, help them move on a facilitation, but not for the system.
Jeanette, you know I see the world differently sometimes.
Okay.
You understand that.
Yes.
But to me, it makes more sense for a district to sit down, go through their workbook, get their thoughts put all together, put them on paper, and that's what you review as you go through, and you make sure that you hit all those things instead of poke and hope. But that's just me, and I see it differently.
Right. No, and I understand that. Steve, I do understand that. If you as a chair, if that is how you want to work with your notebook, we're not saying not to. It's a way of getting information, you know, ahead of time. But what we want to make sure is that as we end up getting information, because that the information that we're getting is information about what the chair is seeing in the district. And so if you take that and you give it to the school and the school fills it out for you because that's what you're asking them to do, although we're not requiring that from them, that's a way that you can handle it as your OVT.
So if a district didn't want to fill that out for me as a visiting chair, I could always say, find another visiting chair.
Just, if that's what you want to do.
I'll back out and let you talk to someone else. So thank you.
Thanks, Steve. There was another question.
Jeanette. Yes, Jeanette.
Yes.
This is Beth Clavenadine. I already have a username and password for the authenticated apps page. I've requested access for my district, but how do I get a different username and password so that I can go to the app for KISA? My previous one was for me when I recertified.
When you recertify, well, the authentication app, when you go in your authentication app, you'll go in and ask for new programs to have as part of your authentication app.
And so I go in through my regular login to do that?
Right. You go in through your regular login, and then you will go to request additional applications.
Okay. Thank you. I'll try that.
Okay, yeah, and then you'll have to put your password and you'll have to answer some questions or whatever, but that way every application that you have access to will be under your same login information.
Try that.
Let me know if it doesn't work. Just email me or call me, and
okay,
we'll figure
I'll
it out.
That.
Thank you. Other questions that you might have? We know that there have been some visits that have taken place. I don't know if anyone on the call has already had some visits. Yes. Was there a question? If you have a chair who, if Steve decides to not chair his district, I'm just kidding, Steve. If you have a chair that has not been trained yet, Please note that we're kind of doing individual calls with those individuals just to make sure that they have some basic kind of information and about how we see some of this facilitation taking place. And then we will have them on a list for chair trainings for the next school year when we begin in the fall. And we'll be sending that information out. I know that there's a few, and I also know that there have been some school districts who have changed chairs. So in some cases, there have been chairs that have already been trained. In some cases, there have been chairs that have not been trained. So know that if you have someone that has not been trained, that you select it from not the list of the trained chairs, then we need to be able to know that, and also so that we can contact them and do some individual training with them. So one of the ways what we are asking you is to let us know, email us letting us know that you've changed your chair, and at the same time go in and change that chair information from your KISA application. I believe it's question 2 or 3 from that, 2, I think. So make the correction in that application as well as email us and let us know. That way we'll have that information. Even though we print out and we take a look at that on a regular basis, it is always hard to catch some of those changes that take place.
Jeanette?
Yes.
When can OVT chairs expect a copy of the annual or the yearly summary report from your office so they can complete that after the OVT meeting?
We should have a finalized copy by the end of this month. We're taking that yearly summary report based on feedback that we got from the Accreditation Advisory Council, and we're taking that to the Accreditation Review Council on the 21st of February. Once we get feedback from them on some of the changes and the document in itself, then we will send it out to the chairs as well as be sure that it's placed in the application. We're hoping that all chairs by the middle of March, is our hope, will have access to that application through their own authentication and login.
Excellent. Thank you.
Jeanette, I have a question, and maybe this is a little bit too specific regarding the social-emotional. And one thing I wrote from our 2 weeks ago from the call was there's no real requirement by the state regarding social emotional, but I think I'm a little eager to find out maybe what some other districts are doing. I mean, there's some compliance issues, obviously, with suicide prevention, things like that. We're looking at our curriculum as it exists today. What do we cover social emotional wise? What don't we cover that we need to be? Is that accurate that there's no real state requirement? But we need to be obviously addressing, you know, it's obvious if we just, unless our head's in the sand, that we know there's some social emotional needs out there.
That is correct. We have, of course, what's compliance pieces, like your bullying policy, your suicide prevention, some of those pieces, you know, mm-hmm. that are requirements in that you need to make sure it, that are compliance-wise that are in place. But we are not, we do not have indicators or a way of assessing social emotional. We're leaving that up to the district.
Okay.
So it will all be dependent upon what you're doing, what program you're using, or what strategies you have put in place to address the issues that you feel are present in your district, and then ensuring that somehow you have some way of assessing the success of the program or the strategies in some way, fashion, or form.
Thank you.
We do have a toolkit that our social emotional group has put together, and they're also working on a graphic where they're putting in. It hasn't been out yet. It should be out sometime this month, I think. It was just presented to us. We have a social emotional work group here at the State Department that has been developed as part of our strategic planning management process. And they have a graphic where they have placed the social emotional factors along with the KISA factors. It's kind of an infinity symbol, if you will, where it indicates if I serve this and I have a response back, what might be some of those pieces that need to take place as part of some of the social emotional issues that happen in the personal, in the intellectual or cognitive way as well. So that should be coming out pretty soon, and we will send something out, I'm sure, through the listservs to our systems once that is completed. I think the graphic is there. They're working currently on the data that goes with it.
Hey, Janice.
Hi. Yes. Was there another question? These calls are primarily for you as a system to be able to ask anything that you have questions about, unsure of. You want just to verify that what you know or how you're doing things is in the right track. So I'm leaving this open for each of you to end up deciding on whether or not you have any further questions from our end. In terms of where you should be within the system, year one system should really be having their two rubrics, citing as a system, what two rubrics you're going to be using or setting as goals. Even though you have those two rubrics, whether it be relevance, responsive culture, rigor, relationships, just know that just because you have selected two particular rubrics does not mean that you do not address or keep in a maintenance phase those other two rubrics that you're not working on directly through an improvement plan. Because you want, if there's anything that we have learned throughout all this system, anytime we have done school improvement in any fashion, is that when we stay very narrow on just two areas, a lot of things go downhill within our system. And so we want to avoid that, at least throughout this process this time, kind of part of those lessons learned. And that's why we're doing it as a system level. So year one, you should have looked at your rubrics. You should have identified what to areas you will be addressing, and you should be able to have your district leadership team in place, your building leadership teams in place, your school site councils in place, your district site councils in place, have been informing the community of what's going on and those pieces. You should know about what your compliance, how you're doing around compliance issues and where your foundational structures are at. And that's kind of the gist of year one. In year two, if you're a year two system, you should by that time then now have your schools addressing and know which are the components within those two R's that your actual schools will be identifying for school improvement purposes. Okay, so you should have that information, and your schools, as well as you as a district, should have some improvement plans in place in year twos. And so you should be able to talk about or readdress why you selected those goals from your year one, and then have some conversation of why, how your improvement plan at the district level is addressing the needs of your schools based on where they have, what they have identified in terms of their plans for improvement of the components of those R's. Year threes, you should be working on those strategies and interventions that have been being that are put in place, and identifying or making sure that you have your evidence, or that you know what evidence you're going to be using to determine your growth within your districts, and more importantly, how what you're doing at the building level through your components and your rubrics, how those are really impacting the results goals that are up there, which is kindergarten readiness, IPS, social emotional, graduation rate, and post-secondary education. And that's the year one, two, and three specifications at this time. Any questions about that?
Jeanette, I have one more question. I'm recursing back to the TESA report.
Okay.
Could you provide a little bit of clarity for systems on the last item on that report is assurances? Do you have a vision that systems should show this report to their superintendent and their board of ed prior to the OVT, or after, once the OVT is over and the report's complete?
Well, that report should be submitted. Good question, Sue. That report, you're talking about question 16 on the KESA application, and question 16 really occurs after the visit, after the visitation, and that's when the superintendent or the district person that's responsible for KESA takes the report, including questions on number 15 that have been answered, and submits the report to their board to say, we've had our visit, this is what we talked about, and this is what we submitted to our visiting team. And so it's a verification that that process has taken place, and it's an assurance that the district has done that for their local board. So only after that has been done, after it has been sent to the board, should the whoever's working with the application should come back and then complete that, and then hit submit. Other questions?
Good morning to all of you. This is Michelle Miller, Director of Teacher Licensure and Accreditation. I just joined the conversation and wanted to tell you all for being here and let you know I was here as well.
So remember that this call is for you, so if you don't have any further questions, I would just ask that as you depart the call, you can just indicate the location and say that you're sounding off. That way I'll know who's still on the line.
Hey, Jeanette, can I ask a question on 4 and 5?
Absolutely.
When is the next conference call on that one?
That
Not
is
next
this
week.
Afternoon.
This afternoon?
This afternoon at 1:30.
Same number, all that?
Same number, yes.
Okay. Will both of these meetings be on the same day all the time?
Yes, they will.
Okay. I'll fix my calendar then. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Jeanette, is that correct? Every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks. That is correct. Because we meet with the chairs the week, alternating week. So if you're a chair for a system, then you would be on a call next Tuesday in the morning, same time, for systems 1 through 3. Or if you chair years 4 and 5, then we do a Zoom, and that one is at 2:30 versus at 1:30.
Thank you. I might have a suggestion in signing off that we do school districts in the 100s, followed by the 200s, followed by the 300s, and so forth. Would that maybe make that a little cleaner?
Something we'll consider on that. Can you explain that a little bit more? Just like
either joining the support call or signing off, that maybe ask for the districts that are 100 through 199 and those people chime in, and then districts in the 200s, and might be a little cleaner way of reporting who's participating.
You're perfect. Right. Thank you.
You're right. So if there aren't any further questions, we would look to hear from districts 100 through 200 signing off.
Chris Card, Trigo, Joaquini. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Mary Ellen Wilson.
Candace signing off.
365 Garnett.
Thank you.
298 Lincoln.
268 Cheney.
300 through 400. 400 through 500.
358 Rockford.
Sedgwick signing off.
Sedgwick, thank you.
445 Coffeyville.
493 Columbus.
Thank you.
449.
Hard to do. Thank you.
61 Neo Duche, Nathan West.
Thank you.
410 Hillsboro.
Thank you.
Sue Jenkins, Southwest Plains.
Thanks, Sue. other service center folks.
Barbara Brown, 924 Brookridge Day.
Thank you. Anyone else remaining?
Chautauqua.
Chautauqua, thank you. And there was one other speaking simultaneously. And is that everyone?
Rebecca Morrissey, Topeka. Bye.
Thank you. That should be it. Do we have anyone else? Thank you all.